Welcome to Our Savior Lutheran's Family Life Podcast. The ministry of Our Savior Lutheran Church and School here in Lansing, Michigan, is to serve God's people by offering practical, scriptural ways to learn, live, and share Christ. My name is Dave Wright, and I am the Minister of Family Life here at Our Savior Lutheran. Today marks the first of what we hope to be many podcasts for people who want to be better informed about the variety of ministries here at Our Savior, as well as with some of our partners in Christian ministry. My guest today is our senior pastor here at Our Savior Lutheran, Bill Wangelin. We want to talk today about the current situation in our world with COVID-19, the coronavirus, the current measures that our church and school are taking to help prevent the spread of this virus, and also spend some time talking about fear and anxiety that may be taking place among people as we all experience something that we've never gone through. Pastor Wangelin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dave, and glad to be here, and thanks for putting this together for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Great to have you here as our first guest. Pastor, you and I have talked for several weeks about getting this podcast off the ground, and it turns out that in this time of stepping back and postponing some of our ministries and events here at Our Savior, we suddenly have time to present some words of faith and hope to our listeners in a new way, via podcast. It's certainly interesting and telling of how we have a wonderful God who knows when we need to take a step back and shut down some things and sort of reboot, if you will. Pastor, talk about ways that this temporary modification of our lifestyle can be a blessing.
Yeah, so this is definitely one of those things that you can't really plan for. The changes that we're experiencing come as a surprise, and they catch people off guard. There's some disappointments that are associated with this. And yet, we know that while so many things are out of our hands, God still holds everything in His hands. And God's not surprised by all of this. In fact, He's going to be able to use this in ways for His glory, in ways that we can't even imagine. And so even though it's really disruptive and really kind of startling to see all the dramatic changes in our day-to-day lives that are being caused by this shutdown for coronavirus, to be able to have a confidence and hope knowing that, you know, God's at work and the mission continues, I think whenever we get focused on the details of the changes, our hearts maybe get a little heavy. But when we think about the blessing of God and how He's still at work and how we get to join Jesus in His mission in a new way, that really, you know, perks us up, and we get really excited about that. So we want to go into this with our eyes and our hearts open of, you know, how is God calling us to learn, live, and share Christ, as we always have, but in a new situation, in a new setting. And so we're going to be really looking, you know, to see what God would be stirring up in us.
Kind of going along with that concept of new situations and new ways, I know that we all sort of fear the unknown in some ways, and we can all be anxious when our lifestyle gets disrupted. What are some ways that people can alleviate that fear and anxiety during this time of uncertainty?
It is definitely that uncertainty that, you know, causes that fear, right? You know, a fear of the unknown. What is this virus going to do?
Sure.
What is my life going to look like in a week or two? Or, you know, what does this mean for all of our changes? We're so almost in suspended animation, so to speak, where everything is on hold. And we also, you know, just worry about loved ones and our family, our community, our nation. People have a heightened anxiety. I think sometimes we really come under the illusion that we're really in control of so much in our life, and it's times like this where we realize that we are not in control.
We're not?
Of so many things. Nope. Big surprise to a lot of us, and or just a big reminder to a lot of us that we're not in control of so many things. And so, you know, to know that God is still in control is obviously a big, you know, part of our faith, to know that God works through all things, you know, for good. For the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. You know, having a deeper faith and trust in God, I mean, that's what happens, especially in times of fear and anxiety. We have to lean on the Lord. We have to call out to Him in prayer. And there is this great spiritual strengthening that can happen during these times. So our relationship with God, first and foremost, in our lives, we really got to zero in and focus in on that. Are we praying like we've not prayed before? Do we have time or a desire to be in God's Word? And just really encouraging people in our faith, you know, trusting God, putting our lives in His hands, as we always do, but it just has a heightened sense of that right now. And then the other part is how we care for each other during this time. When we have this fear, this anxiety, this uncertainty, you know, the body of Christ is even more important, that we are encouraging each other, that we are building each other up, that we're praying for one another, to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are doing this together, even though we are physically apart in this time of, you know, kind of self-quarantine or just social distancing, that we are truly together in Christ, in the body of Christ, in prayer, in mission. Man, we're together in so many ways. And yeah, this podcast is one of those. So, you know, relying on the Lord and, again, cherishing and knowing how important our human connections, our family connections, and our church family connections are, is a big part of addressing that fear and anxiety.
Good words of advice. Yeah, definitely. Our relationship with Christ first and foremost, and then from that can flow ways that we can serve others. Great advice, Pastor. One of our eighth grade students here at Our Savior Lutheran School was walking into the building last week, the morning after it was announced that schools in Michigan would be closed starting today. She asked me, "Is our school really going to close?" When I said, "Yes, it looks that way," the look of sadness and disappointment on her face made it clear that this was certainly not a welcome break from school. So many kids, whether they want to admit it or not, really do thrive on routine and structure. What are some things that you've talked about, perhaps with your own kids, in terms of routines at home and ways to maintain a balance of time off and time still spent learning and being productive?
That's a great question, and that's what you know, parents and families, students, teachers, administrators are spending a lot of time thinking through and really seeking, you know, the Lord's direction, and also sharing you know, advice and tidbits and guidelines and some structure. We're going to get a lot of home time, and we're going to get a lot of family time for those that are hunkering down and being together as family. You know, one thing we mentioned on Sunday morning was, you know, how many times have you heard people talk about how busy they were and how full, jam-packed the calendar was and how life just seems go, 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 and it never seems to slow down. Well, guess what? It's about to slow down. And maybe we needed to pull back a little bit. Maybe we needed to take our foot off the gas a little bit more than we realized, and we couldn't do it on our own. We just couldn't. And so now that we have this opportunity of time at home, time with family, you know, needing to care for each other in new ways, yeah, we're gonna bump into the challenges of being all confined together in small spaces. I mean, you know, I think it really sunk into my kids when right away Saturday, Sunday, they asked if they could go to play at a friend's house, or if a friend could come over and visit them, or could they go down to the neighbors. And we had to say, hey guys, right now, we got to figure out if that's okay, but right now we can't do those things. And it started to hit them that we are home. So there's a couple things that we're looking at doing as a family, and I know our teachers are really going to be providing some great resources, guidelines, structures, support for all those things. We're bringing up a little bookshelf that we had in our storage room in the basement because we kind of need to set up a little homeschool center. Where are kids going to physically put binders, folders, papers? You know, for my household, we got four kids, and so we kind of need to set up a station where that stuff can be, you know, centrally located. There are some things that we're looking forward to as a family, you know, when it comes to, you know, doing some projects like making chocolate chip cookies together, and maybe for the younger kids to really get to experience that. We've done that before, but to just really do that in a, you know, during the day. There's some online resources that we want to use. You can do virtual tours of big museums around the world. And so to do that as a family and kind of explore the world through technology, you know, those are some of the things. And obviously having structured time, screen time, outside time, chores, all this is going to be a big adjustment for kids and families. And for parents, too, that need to work. You know, for me to be here at church, our church office is open at normal hours, you know, 8 to 4, Monday through Friday. We're still here ministering to people, even as I'm trying to make sure my family's taken care of. My wife's teaching her LCC classes online, and so, but she still has, you know, 150 students or so to care for through that programming. And so it's just going to be a lot of balancing and helping each other out and encouraging each other.
The wonders of technology, what a great thing, having this unique one-room schoolhouse, so to speak, but throw in the Zoom technology that we can use, and suddenly the world opens up.
You know, for our middle school student especially, two of them, we realize, you know, how important social connections are. And so helping our teens, you know, set up some Zoom meetings or through Google Hangouts, some video conferencing with their friends, and setting that up on a regularly scheduled basis so they know that, you know, every other day or each day at 4 o'clock or whatever it is, they get to jump online and they get to have a good hour of chatting with their friends, because those social connections are so important.
Fantastic. Pastor, I want to read a portion from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That part about meeting together and holding unswervingly to the hope we profess, it's great encouragement, but it can also be a bit confusing right now. Worship is such an encouraging part of the Christian life. The encouragement that you get from being together with a group of like-minded people, all confessing together, all singing praises together, all hearing the words of absolution from sin, all partaking of the Lord's Supper together, well, some of this is changing temporarily. Certainly, worship services are being shifted to live streaming for congregations everywhere. And as we continue to monitor the coronavirus situation and the measures that are being put in place at our local and state and national levels, Pastor, just give us an update as to the ways that we at Our Savior Lutheran are complying with state-issued mandates, and talk about how worshiping separately via live stream can be a positive experience.
That is a great question, and churches all over the country, maybe even all over the world, are really looking at how they can utilize and maximize technology for the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom. I mean, when you think about it, on Sunday, that was probably the most people hearing the Word of God through online streaming and technology that has ever happened in the history of the world. And how is the Holy Spirit at work doing that, using that medium, much like Martin Luther taking advantage of the brand new technology of the printing press in the Reformation? I mean, just an unprecedented mass communication tool that really let the Reformation bring that gospel into people's homes and lives all over the place. And now God is really almost kind of forcing his churches to really assess and reevaluate that as a ministry tool. I'll just give an example. We have a neighbor near us that we've been inviting to church since we've lived there, almost 7 years. And she's never come, but we stay pretty close with her. We text all the time. She just texted to see how we were doing and what was going on and how we were, you know, things were going for us on Saturday. My wife sent her the live stream link for Our Savior. And wouldn't you know it, on Sunday at about 9:08 after early service, she sent my wife a text saying, "Hey, thank you so much for that link. I love the service. It's just what I needed right now." First time that she's, you know, watched a service at Our Savior, and here this is kind of the moment that it took. So we really got to be open to seeing how God is leading and directing his people to give us what we need the most. We can't stress the importance of word and sacrament for the life of a Christian. And that's what that passage in Hebrews chapter 10 is talking about, right? How important that is that we are meeting together. It, you know, references to baptism, the Lord's Supper. We need Christ and his gifts, especially in times of anxiety like this, right? And people need the Lord. We need the body of Christ. And so, yeah, worship's such an encouragement for that. We're going to do what we can here at Our Savior to continue word and sacrament ministry as much as possible, as long as possible. That means that it doesn't mean we're going to do all these ministries. In fact, we've really trimmed it all down to essentially worship. You know, that we're pausing Bible classes and programs, special events. All those things need to be reconsidered. And we're stripping it down to the bare essentials of saying worship, you know, word and sacrament ministry for people. As Christians, we want to honor the government. That's part of the fourth commandment, that we honor those in authority. We want to do everything we can to respect the government mandates, to obey the law, to be good citizens. We want to love our neighbor. And that means not giving them the coronavirus, to love your neighbor in that way, to love our community, to serve them. That means obeying and honoring these mandates that the government's giving. So, you know, to have that limitation of 250, that's what's currently in place. We know that could change. Whatever that limitation is, we're going to honor that. But we're also going to try to figure out how do we keep doing word and sacrament ministry with whatever guideline, restriction, mandate gets thrown our way. Nothing's going to stop us from sharing the gospel and bringing people the word of Christ. So we're really committed to that. But it is going to look different. And
certainly a time to maintain some creativity or to develop some creativity. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of the psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." And this seems to be a time when he's making us be still. Mm-hmm. Just to sort Absolutely. Of reevaluate how we can do things to still honor him. Pastor, shifting gears a little bit, what are some steps that we're taking here at Our Savior Lutheran in our building to help prevent the spread of the virus?
Sure. As I mentioned, you know, loving our neighbor means just good, healthy practices right now in a time of pandemic and things that we're doing here at church. So obviously, as I mentioned, the limitation of all those or the suspension of all those various ministries and reducing the number of events, the number of opportunities where we're coming together. It's really heartbreaking because we love a lot of those events. We loved, oh man, Lenten dinners were just awesome. And so there's some disappointment as we can't get together the way that we had hoped to for a time, right? This is all temporary. But one of those things is reducing the number of events down. Obviously, our school ministry is closed until the government says that we can reopen. And so students are home, teachers are giving supplemental learning, and that part of our building is really going to be just kind of locked up and sealed off. We are going to fumigate and sterilize those classrooms, the hallways. When students return in the building, it's going to be into this pristine, super clean condition. The other half of the building, the church side, we are doing daily cleaning, sanitizing, wiping things down. When we do have the events like worship, like we did on Sunday, it's very important that everybody sign in, that we have a very accurate list of who's in the building, that we can have a list that we could give to the CDC or that we could just keep track of who is here. We also have our cameras and everything recording. And then everybody washes their hands upon entering. And when we have worship services or if we're able to do any specific events, that's a mandatory action for everybody coming in the building. You got to sign in. You got to wash your hands before you can proceed. So those are just some of the things that we're doing. After each service, we're wiping down all the pews with the Clorox wipes. We had some great volunteers step up on Sunday and really cranked that out and made sure that we wiped everything down. We're trying to eliminate touch points. We took out all the pens of the pews. We took away the kids' church bags and the little instruments by the band at the end of late service. Again, kind of heartbreaking, but it makes sense at a time like this. We're propping as many doors as possible. It's just trying to eliminate those places, those touch points, so that you can walk into church, walk through the building, hands-free.
Certainly some really good precautions that we're putting into place. I'm a big sports fan, Pastor. You know that. And like many people, was looking forward to the March Madness NCAA basketball tournaments, as many of us do each year. We're certainly still having a March Madness of a different sort, obviously. But because my free time now does not include watching sports this spring, I'm perusing through some of the books on my shelf that I've not had time to read, or maybe some that I want to kind of look at again. What are some really solid books, Pastor, that you've read lately that maybe you'd recommend?
Yeah, it is a big disappointment with some of the entertainment and things we love to watch and a lot of sports cancellations. But, yeah, we're going to be looking for those other ways to feed our mind, our body, our spirit. And we have that opportunity to do that in some new ways. You know, one of the books that our staff and our elders is reading right now is by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Life Together. And boy, am I going to be looking at that through new eyes. So if our elders, staff, our senior Bible study went through that together too. So a number of people in our church are familiar with that one. You know, an old one that we walked through as a congregation a while ago was the book by John Ortberg, When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box. And what's so cool about that book is, first of all, it's so easy to read. It's so accessible, great stories and illustrations. But it talks about your ultimate purpose in life, and what life's really all about, and how many things are actually temporary, and how do we live for those things that are eternal. And I think at a time like this, where we're really, our temporary lives are disrupted in such big ways, we need to be reminded of what's our purpose, what's God doing in our life, what really matters in the long run. And that book just had an amazing way of zeroing us in on what really matters, and I think that's so important to in a time like this of a lot of, you know, kind of tumultuous stuff going on. And let's not neglect or overlook the book of books. I really think, you know, for so many Christians, that desire to read the Bible is there. Or we read devotions where you get a verse and some explanation. But to be able to really read big sections of Scripture, to read through the life of David, to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in order, you know, all the way through. You know, if reading your Bible cover to cover is just too intimidating for you, start with the gospel, start with the life of Christ, and just read one all the way through, and you'll see how all these stories that you've heard, all these snippets and Bible verses that you're familiar with, how they actually all come together in a narrative whole. And it's just really cool to be able to read it as a book, as a novel, as a story, as an account of God's work in the world. So, yeah, to be able to spend time in prayer, to be able to read through Scripture, and some other great you know, Christian reading is going to be a big blessing to people.
Any favorite Scriptures maybe that come to mind that you'd like to share, words of hope and comfort for you?
Certainly. One of my favorite verses, John 14:27, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He's about you know, to go to the cross. He's talking about his departure. They're really anxious. They're really nervous and worried about him. And, you know, in John, the beginning of the chapter, Jesus says, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He's trying to comfort them. He's trying to assure them. And you get to verse 27, and he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And he reiterates that command about do not fear. I think of, you know, God gives to us differently than the world gives. What kind of peace is the world offering us right now? If you're watching the stock market, if you're watching the news, if you're listening to the chit-chat and the chatter and the buzz around, what kind of peace is the world offering? And contrast that to the peace we have in Christ, unshakable, immovable, so certain, and a source of joy in the life of a Christian, no matter what, you know, storms are around us.
Yeah, unfortunately, the media sort of offers us a panic rather than a peace at times. Pastor, speaking about peace, would you offer a prayer for our listeners right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that all things come from your hand, and every blessing we have, Lord, comes from you. And you have given us, Lord, what we need the most, forgiveness of our sins, the promise of eternal life, our salvation, and you've placed us in the body of believers, into the body of Christ, Lord, this wonderful church family that we have. And so, Father, as we're going through a time of big change, big uncertainty, and even anxiety and nervousness, Lord, about all these changes, we pray that we can lean on you, Lord. You are our constant. You are our rock and our fortress, an ever-present help in time of trouble. So we pray, Father, that in these days you would draw us closer to you, and you would give us opportunities, Lord, to love our neighbor as ourselves in ways that we couldn't imagine, but that you will present to us, Father. Help us love and care our families. Give patience, endurance, faithfulness, and even joy, Lord, as we come together in new ways to learn, live, and share Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you give to us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, thank you so much for reminding us today that we are truly people of hope, and that the certainty of a wonderful God, a risen Savior, and the presence of the Holy Spirit can bring comfort and peace during trying times.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm Dave Wright, and this has been Our Savior's Family Life Podcast. We hope you will check out future podcasts on our website, which is oursaviorlansing.org. Click on Media, and it will take you to the OSL Family Life Podcast. I wish you God's peace as you learn, live, and share Christ. Take care.